All right. Well, I wasn't sure if I was going to come on or not, and quite honestly, I didn't feel like it, but it didn't matter what I feel like doing. But it matters what's right to do and to continue to minister to the saints of God through all things. Amen. But anyway, busy day today for sure, and heading into a busier week, weekend. We'll be busy all weekend long. As soon as I'm done with this broadcast, I'll probably cut off this broadcast around 3:30, because at 4 o'clock, we will be taking off for the Minnesota State Fair, and we'll be preaching down there at the Minnesota State Fair, downtown St. Paul there, and preaching the gospel to the saints that are there, or to the lost that are there, and maybe to some saints that need to come back to the Lord, that God might use the preaching of His Word to draw them back if they're backslidden or if they're not right with Him. You know, God uses the public ministry for that too as well, in order to try to reach the lost for Him. So it's important that we continue to do that work of the ministry, and we've got a lot of tracts to hand out here tonight. We'd like to see thousands of them handed out and thousands of people preached to out there, and who knows what heart the Lord will spark to turn and to receive Christ as their Savior if they've never have, or to get right with Him. So we know that work is there to do. And it's the Holy Spirit's work. So we'll just keep praying for that the Lord would continue to bless and to work in the lives of those people as we evangelize to them here tonight. Satan is not happy about any of that, I can guarantee you that, and he won't be at all the work that is done for the Lord here tonight and in the lives of his saints and for this church over the course of the next nearly 3 weeks. We have this nonstop evangelistic push. Really, honestly, we head into it from here all the way to today. Really starts the work all the way until October, really. I mean, pretty close to it. September, there'll be like a week or two that will slow down a little bit towards the end of September, or the second half of September, but then after that, October will be an extremely busy month of all the work that the Lord has for us to do in this little church here that the Lord has brought up and raised up here, and not to mention the things that we do online and the things that we try to minister to the saints that are out there online and try to bring them the truth and try to encourage you in your walk with God out there. And, you know, we praise the Lord for that we're able to do that. And, you know, the Lord laid that on my heart to get back to working and get back to online ministry. I've kind of pulled away from that for a while, just for a lot of different reasons, but to get a proper balance on things and all of that. So God gave me that and helped me to see all that. And now we're back and trying to do more for the Lord as we go. And part of that is, you know, dealing with apostasy and things like that. Dave Patrick comes on here and says, "Stop blowing your own horn, man." I don't have a horn to blow. I'm not blowing anything. I'm trying to encourage people to keep doing the work and the will of God. I don't understand why you think that's blowing my own horn. I'm informing people of what to pray for this ministry. Really, Satan's attacks come from everywhere, but I think the Apostle Paul was very clear. Oh yeah, drop your 501c3. Hey Dave, your ignorance is showing. We don't have 501c3 here. We're not a nonprofit organization. We're not a 501c3. We don't have a tax identification number, nor have we ever had those things here. So unfortunately, the devil's fowls come flying in to try to attack the work of the Lord. I didn't think there's any bragging in my voice or any type of self-exaltation in any of that, just a desire for people to pray for us and to keep people informed of the ministry here of what we're doing. Really, there is no glory in it for us. I mean, we're not exactly going to be the most popular guys out there tonight when we go out there. We're usually pretty much the most hated people out there when we go. So, I mean, the open air ministry is pretty much the most despised ministry out there. It's pretty much hated by even professing Christians. So anyway, whatever. Yeah. But back to the point that I was trying to make, that, you know, pray for us in all that we're doing here and because we need it. But Dave Patrick needs a lot more because he came on here and made insinuations and accusations that were so far from the truth. I bet she feels really stupid now that we're not a 501c3 and that we're not tax exempt and, you know, all those things. So anyway, well, actually the fair is not as bad as it's more a family oriented type of a situation. Now there's wicked things wherever you go, just like when you walk down the street. But the point is that there's people there that need to be saved. There's families there from all over, you know, that need the gospel and that need to be saved by the grace of God. So anyway, we want them to be saved. We're not there to yell at them for going to the fair or whatever. We're there because there's a crowd there, just like we're anywhere. There's a crowd at, we go to preach to them. And that's what we're here to do, but what God's called us to do. So that's what we're going to do. Amen. And anyway, so it'll be an interesting thing. Now, let me take you to something here. Let me see if I can find this. I posted this video yesterday, and if I can get this to pull up, for some reason it doesn't want to. It's like lagging. I don't know what the deal is. I shouldn't be surprised that it's lagging, though, should I? It's been one of those days today, so don't know what the deal is with that. Oh, well, that might help. All right. Well, this is a little short video that I did yesterday. Nothing spectacular, but and it's really close to my head. Sorry, but I was just doing something really fast. Now, I want you to see something here. You see this woman right here? Okay, so what is up with the fake accounts attack, man? Crazy. What? Okay. No, I know what's up with it. Satan and all his emissaries are coming out with the attack drones here, and It's pretty obvious, isn't it? You know, sometimes God encourages me by showing how absolutely obvious there are that there are satanic attacks against this ministry and that Satan's not happy with the work that we're doing for the Lord. So he's going to come in and dive bomb everything and try to attack it, and try to discourage and everything else. So very interesting, though, that it would be that blatant. But sometimes God allows that to be so absolutely blatant, right, in order for me to be like, okay, just don't forget, preacher, what you're up against. All right, watch this.
All right?
Yes, thank you.
Amen. Thank you for kindness. No matter who you are, where you come from, whether you're coming from,
Do you believe that person sounds like they're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ? Or does it sound like they're singing about some boyfriend or something? Think about it. Crossroads for a reason, believe me. And it's the crossroads of hell is exactly what it is. Man, that old mean preacher. Why do you have to do that, right? Why do you have to do that? That's an attribute of the new man, by the way. It's an evidence. Anyway, so, by the way, that's the newest sermon that's online. Right there. Just so you know. Anyway, so the point is, that's nice music. How is that evil? That's not nice music. That is satanic Babylonian music. And I'm glad the authorized mic is there for strong spiritual warfare. Oh, I gotta laugh. I gotta laugh, right? I have to. Well, we're going to get into some apostasy watch here, but boy, wasn't that a good way to get that started for apostasy watch right there? Wasn't that a great way to get it started to understand, well, hey, listen, there's some apostasy for you right there. Okay? Yeah, all the videos that I've done on 501c3 are there. The sermons are there. All the truth's out there, okay? So, whatever, it's easy stuff, all right? Yeah, the wind, fire, and water. Danny, I didn't notice that, but I can believe it. You know, I can believe it. Do you have a sermon on what to do in place of 501c3? Yeah, I've got a bunch of them on there. You can go on there and find them. They're on there. Just type in 501c3. You'll find it. Anyway, I've talked about that for years, for, I don't know, at least 10 probably, pretty close to 10 years or so. Maybe 8, I don't know. But definitely before it was cool to talk about. All right? Definitely. All right? Anyway. Yeah, I wasn't looking that close to the elements thing either, Dakota. I was just looking at the fact that it was Crossroads and, yeah, all that stuff. But how would we pay our pastor? Pastors are gifted. You gift pastors. You don't pay a pastor. He's not on staff. It's up to the people to give to the needs of the church, to meet the needs. And whatever's left over, you take care of your pastor with. That's the way it goes. So, anyway. Joseph is as Robin is very bored. I don't know what the deal is, but he's very bored coming into Dive Bomb. Anyway, goodbye. So, you know, I'm not going to get into specifics about how a non-501c3 church operates and all that kind of stuff. That's all up to them after they organize the biblical way. But I don't have a guaranteed salary here. I don't have a guaranteed wage here. I'm not an employee. So, not if he doesn't want to. He doesn't report anything. Gifts are not taxable according to U.S. tax code. But anyway, I'm not anybody's advisor for that. That's something that they need to go seek out some help and advice from. You can contact a number of different groups that deal with those things. So I don't really deal with that. So that's somebody else that can help you along with those issues, or you can contact me in private about it. But to get into the intricate details, I can't answer questions, because one question is linked to another question is linked to another question is linked to another question. If you don't have the entire outlook right, if you don't have the entire model right, then it doesn't help me to tell you how to do one thing. You know what I mean? Because if I tell you how to do one thing, if you don't have the whole picture, then that one thing's not going to be right either. It's not going to make sense. So there's a bigger fish to fry there with all of it, that you have to have things organized correctly. The way you hold property to all those things. So a lot of things go into it. A lot of things go into it. But, you know, that's something that you'd have to kind of contact in private about and get some advice and some counsel on how to go about organizing that the right way. But you do not need to be a 501c3. And, you know, you do not have to get a tax identification number. You don't have to do any of that. So thank the Lord for that. Amen. But we're still in America. We still have some liberty when it comes to those things. And we don't have to do all that in order to organize correctly. So anyway, that's something for another topic, but boy, maybe sometime we'll do that. I mean, I have no problem with having a little bit of freedom here on Friday and talking about a little things. I don't have to really get into anything super specific. You know, we can kind of bounce around there and all that stuff when it comes to different topics and things like that. I really don't mind answering questions as long as they're appropriate questions. And as long as I can do that very simply. Joseph as Robin came in again. If Jehovah's Witnesses said Christmas and Easter is wicked and evil, do we have to believe it to be true because it's hard and unpleasant regardless? No, you have to believe the truth. Not what some person says the truth is, but what the truth is. And the truth is that Christmas is not found in the Bible. Christ Mass is not found in the Bible. The Mass is an invention of Rome, right? The Mass is an invention of Rome. So, and Christmas trees are found in Jeremiah 10. There you go. So, the Bible is very clear about those idolatrous practices and things like that, and worship that is not according to spirit and in truth. If you go back and watch our broadcast that Pastor David Ickes and I did on about the truth about Christmas, and you listen to that one, that will give you all the evidence that you need in order to understand the subject on Christmas. Okay? So, if you study that, then you'll find out the truth about it. We just don't want another Kent Hovind situation. Well, but see, number one, Kent Hovind was not a church. Kent Hovind is a person. Okay? So that's the difference. Church is already tax exempt, said one. Why do they need 501c3? They don't need 501c3. I never said they did. Never said they did need 501c3. I'm not 501c3. Old Paths Baptist Church is not a legal entity. But see, this topic goes into way deeper, you know, than that, as far as that goes. It goes in way deeper than understanding that. Yeah, if you go back and listen to that on Christmas, you'll find out some interesting, very interesting things that are on there. Open Line Fridays, crazy, going all over the place, right? I'm letting people just throw things at me and punch me in the face with everything they want, I guess, today. But I guess that's the mood I'm in. But anyway, let's see. Thank you for your Easter sermon. You have no idea how many of those so-called internet ministers acted like it was some pagan evil holiday and would bash everyone's head. That's right. Romans 10:17 studied that out and made it very clear. Oh, Mike, you're asking a question. Well, Mike, try to frame it as a question then, okay? maybe you did frame it as a question. I just didn't take it as a question. So it's probably my fault, Mike. You did ask a question. I'm sorry. Anyway, sorry about that, Mike. I just read that again. Just wondered why they do it. Well, they do it because they believe they're protected if they do it. If they take 501c3 incorporation, they believe that it protects them. It gives them certain rights and protections according to a corporation. It sets up a false entity and makes a legal entity. So then the church literally becomes this legal entity, this false person. All right? So, yeah. Right, the anti-Easter people think everything is evil. Right, and in studying it out, go back and listen to the message I did on it. Very thorough, with the Bible, with the history of language, with everything. And I don't believe it's pagan. I believe people have attached pagan things to that later, and the pagans have tried to steal it, but I don't believe it's the same thing. Right. Right. There's a witch at the top right of your screen wearing a pink skirt. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep. And Beth Moore is still a witch. That's right. So that's why they do it, Mike. They believe that they're going to be protected, okay? They believe that if they take the 501c3 corporation, they'll be protected. Is Jason Cooley your pastor, Mike? No, I'm not his pastor. No, I'm not. Not at all. So, I don't know what he's talking about. Anyway, right. So anyway, that's 501c3. Glad, Samuel, that you enjoyed the teaching on Christmas. I'm going to do some more this year. A little bit different. I'm going to slow it down. I'm going to deal with the subject slowly about other things. What about herding Easter eggs? I don't know what that means, herding Easter eggs. How do you herd Easter eggs? So, anyway, I don't know what that means. What about herding Easter eggs? Hey, you made it. Oh, I did. Yeah. Yeah, I did. Yep, sort of. Anyway. No, I don't know Mike Ladd. I do know the authorized Mike. But I do not know Mike Ladd. Anyway. Let's see. Pastor Cooley, for a man to pastor church, must he be married first? Well, I believe that's the proper order. I know in the past it's been done differently, Kieran Wilson, but the Bible says that the bishop must be the husband of one wife. Now, someone might say, well, what if the wife dies? Well, I don't believe he needs to step down. He still was the husband of one wife, even though his wife died. He never, you know, he wasn't married to two women, and, you know, he has the opportunity to be married again. So I think what the Bible is dealing with is experience there. Is the experience of the bishop in order to understand. Somebody asked about hunting Easter eggs. No, that's not biblical. That has nothing to do with the Bible, hunting Easter eggs. First of all, there are no Easter eggs in the Bible, so that wouldn't be... that wouldn't be right. That's paganism. So when I talk about Easter, I talk about what the Bible talks about that. That Pascha, all right, that Pascha, that Passover. Christ is our Passover lamb. Tyndale and others, Easter lamb or Ooster lamb, okay? So anyway, you have to go back and look at some of those. That's the history of the word itself. And it's not what it's been made out to be. Janine Stowe, Pastor Cooley, have you ever followed Russ Dizdar? No, I think Russ Dizdar is a stinking hack. I think Russ Dizdar is working for the Antichrist. I think he is a devil, and I would not follow anything that he does. I think his Black Awakening is a bunch of disinfo, misinformation, and I think he pulls people back into the occult. I don't like him. I don't trust him. Not at all. Not at all. So, no, I would stay away from that man. Indefinitely. All right, let's see here. There's a difference. And go back and listen to the Easter teaching. You really have to. I can't. Yeah, I don't trust that dude. That dude's spooky. That I'm telling you, those guys that mess around with it, to me, is in the same category as Schneblin. I think they're coadjutors. I think Schneblin's still a witch. I think he's pulled people back into the Hebrew Roots movement. I think he's a witch. I think he never left his witchy poo stuff, and I think he's hiding out in the woods, peekaboo, hiding behind trees with his big long beard and his big long robe, and still running around acting like a witch to me. Yeah, absolutely. So that's as blunt as I can be about both those guys, because they're still practicing, in my opinion, witchcraft. Anyway, and I think Schneblin is too, for sure. Okay, if you're about the whole Bible, then you ought to be a member of the local church according to the doctrine of the Bible. Amen, I agree. Well, I know, Jason, I was just responding to her inquiry there, once I figured out she was talking about hunting, not herding. Anyway, let's see here. Yep, certain men crept in unawares. That's right. And I'm sorry, but the Bible deals with those men that would draw people back. Right? Draw people back under the law and draw people and pull them back into something. Very dangerous. So, and that's exactly what those guys are doing. That's exactly what they do. And it's very dangerous. Very dangerous business. Nothing to play with at all. So it ought to be careful. You know, be very careful with that stuff. I think messing around with that stuff is these different languages and trying to pull all that stuff out. Well, Mike, that's not exactly what a church is, because the Bible says a church has officers, it has authority, it has ordinances. Right? It has order. Mm-hmm. It has qualifications for a bishop. It has qualifications for a deacon. It has discipline according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. So no, just three people hanging out in a house somewhere and gathering together with the Bible is not called a church. Right? So it has to have all those other things present in order to be a local New Testament church, which is a local, visible body. Right? So that, there's a difference. There's a difference in authority and ownership. The Nephilim have returned. Those are questions that you need to really, if you're starting a church, those are things that you all need to work out yourself. According to the scriptures, nobody can answer you what you're supposed to do as far as that goes. I think the Bible says honor to whom honor is due, custom to whom custom is due, tribute to whom tribute is due. The Bible deals with that the bishop is worthy of double honor. So there's a lot of things that go into all that, and those are things that you need to, not deacons. Deacons are servants, and they hold an office but no authority in the church, but they are servants. And they organize the service of the church. Yeah, sorry. Let me get that out of there for a second. There you go. Oh, well, there's the drag queen. That's not fun either, is it? Anyway. But, so those things are different. And you have to have all those things in order to, you have to follow the Word of God in those areas. So it's better to do that. It's better to understand if you follow what the scriptures say systematically. You know, you can't follow things like a YouTube video or like something like that. You know, you really have to have the proper order, the proper doctrine, the proper discipline, the proper understanding of things in order to, you know, authority and all those things in order to be a church. So in order to be organized is what the Bible calls a local New Testament church. So all of those things are in the scriptures. And it's not something you can just invent kind of in your mind and do it any way you want to. And call it whatever you want to. So I think the gathering of people is the beginning of something. Or could be the beginning of something if things are done right and if things are organized right and all that stuff. You know, so I believe that's proper. So anyway, but that's something that you have to follow down through the scriptures to understand. Yeah. So Authorized Mike said, I saw some folks doing communion over the internet. That was nuts. Well, that is nuts, because communion was given to a local body of believers, not remotely. Mike, it is very difficult to find that. That's why you need to seek out churches that want to start other churches, that want to be in the work of the ministry. Right. You know, I mean, there are some pastors that talk about Greek and they'll kind of explain a few things. And I've heard them do that, but they're not questioning the King James Bible with it or trying to destroy it or try to say that it's got errors or something like that. But for the most part, when people start talking like that, you know, it tends to mean that they're trying to create some kind of doubt in the in the Bible itself, in the Word of God, okay? So that's a lot of times what they're trying to do. And you have to be careful about that, because that's actually a very popular thing for people to do, is to make people doubt the King James Bible. Well, try a search in Amsterdam. Yeah, I'm sure that is hard. It's getting harder out there to find churches that are going to follow the scriptures and obey. And, you know, I mean, there's a constant war that goes on out there between the Lord's people. And you know, so we need to remember that there's a battle there. You know, I want to show you something here. Let me see if I can find it. I just saw it the other day. Let's see. Let's see. I don't know if I can find it on here. It doesn't look like I can here. Oh, I know where it is. I've got it over here. Hang on 1 second. Oh, I know how to get it there. Let's see. Hang on a minute. I'm going to get something here that I want to show you, and it's kind of directly involved. It's kind of directly involved in what we have been talking about in our charismatic movement series that we've been doing. Okay? And we've been dealing with these false, fake prophets and their wickedness. And I kind of was going to save this for maybe a Todd Bentley when I deal with Todd Bentley, but it fits the apostasy of the day. Okay? It actually fits the apostasy of the day. And it sort of tells us what's going on, okay? And right here what we're seeing is Todd Bentley. Remember this video? Let me see if I can find it. I want to show you the video again, okay? Let's see. Oops. Hang on a second. I want to show you this video again. Todd Bentley and Paul Kane, okay? All right, now I want to show you this for a reason. I want you to see that this anointing that he wanted to be put out, right? That he wanted put out. And then I want you to see what happens after this anointing that this Paul Kane. Remember we talked about Paul Kane on Monday or Wednesday? We talked about Paul Kane and we said that, you know, Todd Bentley had him come there and just release your anointing. Well, I want to show you how he released it. And what happened with that? Okay?
Paul, I saw the angel. And when you came out here tonight, Paul, the angelic activity was released in the stadium. And then I turned around and I saw Paul Kane step onto the grass. I never saw you step out onto the grass, but James Gall looked at me and he said, Todd, the angelic was just released and it was going crazy in the stands. And then I turned around and I saw you and I realized the atmosphere changed when you came back out here tonight to step out onto this pulpit. The power of God came in and the glory and his majesty and his holiness came in. And I felt the presence of Jesus. And you heard me say tonight, Paul, that I felt an impression that the Jesus himself came to me. And I felt the Lord came to me out of honor because he was pleased that you accepted my invitation to come and release the prophetic word and the prophetic blessing. Because I'm telling you right now, God is redigging the well and there's a healing revival that's here. And you saw it and you had the reoccurring dream and you had the reoccurring vision. And you received it right here in Central Florida. And right here in Central Florida, something has begun and it's going around the world. And it's global, and you being here tonight is prophetic history. And Paul, I would be honored if you would release and pray a blessing of healing revival just over every hungry heart and soul watching on the television. And they're burning in their hearts right now, Paul. And I know you were with William Branham. I know you were with, you did meetings, you traveled with the greatest healing evangelists of the late 40s and 50s. And those seeds, those healing seeds, seeds are in you, Paul. And I believe if you would release a prophetic blessing, a father's blessing, a grandfather's blessing, because you've carried the word since the 70s and you delivered the word and for so many years, and something's begun to come to pass. And I would be honored if you would release that. I feel it stirring in my heart, Paul.
Father God, in the name of our precious Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that you've answered my prayer, that you let me live to see tokens of this revival.
Now, I know you've watched this video before, but I'm going somewhere in the light of current information, okay, that just came out about Todd Bentley. So give me a second here, okay? And I'm going to show you what I'm talking about, all right?
Be involved in it some way and be a participant if possible. And Lord, you have never allowed me to say that I have met the new breed. Absolutely met the new breed. And when you brought Todd Bentley and I together.
Todd, you don't even know what the guy's name is.
The angel of the Lord said, you found what you're looking for.
So the angel of the Lord told him that, but not the guy's name that's sitting next to him?
This is a man without guile. Just as the man was up in the tree and... what was it?
What was that? That's from the Bible. I can't remember that. I can only remember spooky visions and perverted things that fly through my head and anointings.
Zacchaeus.
Oh.
Nathaniel.
Behold Nathaniel, in whom there is no guile. And I couldn't believe it.
And Paul, he's shaking his head. You know why he's shaking his head? Because he goes, man, this guy, Todd Bentley, man, this guy's full of it. Without guile, who's he talking about? Not me.
When people were criticizing Todd, that surely you have some kind of guile in him. And the Lord spoke to me as clearly as he's ever spoken before. And I've stood by the notables and the greats that had the greatest healing ministry.
Look, let me give you a... Okay, do you remember this? Do you remember that? Do you remember that? The Hulk Hogan? Well, this is how fake this is. Or demonic this is. One of the two.
All times. And I've never met anyone that has the integrity and the possibilities of leading this thing into a worldwide revival. And I just want to confer and bless whatever I can do, whatever God has given me to do.
No, don't let all the demons in at one time. No, it's too much for his head.
I just placed myself in an available position to hear from the Lord and to transfer and give to my brother who has given so much to others and so much to me. Everything you've ever deposited into my life that I didn't know how to give away, I'm giving it to my brother tonight to carry on this revival until the stadiums all over the world have been...
Okay, so let's stop right there. What did he give him? Bam! Oh, wrong one, sorry. Let me see here. Which one? What did he give him? Here's what he gave him. Todd Bentley, accused by colleagues of homosexual acts and teenage sexual abuse. Todd Bentley is the hyper-charismatic faith healer who claims to have raised multiple people from the dead and claims he heals people, yet with zero evidence of such healings. He has been involved in sex scandals as long as he's been known in the charismatic world. Who fell from ministry and was subsequently restored by Rick Joyner. So Rick Joyner restored him just like he restored Paul Kane, who both of them are a bunch of homos. A man closely involved in the ministry of the name of Steve, by the name of Stephen Powell, has come forward with allegations of homosexual activity and sexual abuse at the hands of Todd Bentley. If these allegations are true and Todd Bentley has been acting sexually inappropriate with underage teens, then the authorities should be involved in this. The allegations, the allegations included, according to Stephen Powell, copied directly from Stephen's Facebook post. Here's a screenshot in case it is removed. Include screenshots of Todd asking a young single online student of his to send him pictures of herself on multiple occasions, asking her what she was wearing, or multiple occasions asking for long hugs when they meet, and numerous other inappropriate, disturbing suggestions and appeals to this young lady, who is not his wife. Testimony of a male intern who claims that Todd offered him $1,000. I'm not going to get into that. That's gross. Anyway, homosexual acts. We're not going to get into all that. It's disgusting. There's maybe younger people that might be looking at this. Testimony of we're not going to get into that. Some of this stuff is so wicked, I can't even read it. Okay? Testimony of crazy drunkenness, substance abuse, and crude sexual behavior and speech on Todd and Jessica's part. Some examples would be: one former employee of Todd's told me that one time he was on a plane with him and all Todd could talk about was how much he wanted to fornicate with the stewardess, and that he knew. Yeah, anyway, let's not get into that. Okay, Todd then proceeded to, he says another example would be from a pastor he spoke to who saw Todd and Jessa walk into a restaurant. Todd then proceeded to, mimic sexual acts. We'll put it that way. Testimony from a pastor who claims the young couple in his church were approached by Todd to swing with them, to have an open relationship. All right? This guy said, I myself have seen things over the years that I find disturbing. You've seen Todd preach, pray, and prophesy over these people, only to leave the meeting, purchase hard liquor, and walk into his hotel to party the rest of the night. Okay? So, remember this anointing?
I have been catching this and have been carriers of it and taking it from one end of the world to the other. And thank you. I've met the new breed here tonight, and I appreciate it in Jesus' name. And may the Lord anoint every one of you for you to be participants and go all the way with us. And somebody didn't want me here tonight. You know who it was. It was Satan, but he's...
No, I really don't think it was Satan. I think he really wanted you there that night. So anyway, basically not getting into all the disgusting, wicked stuff. That was there, but from my understanding, Todd Bentley had to be restored anyway. This is in 2010. After nearly a year and a half working with Todd, I recently felt that it was time to release him into some limited ministry in our local church. This does not mean that Todd has been released back into ministry in general, nor does he. So, before Todd will be fully released back into ministry, we'll ask for counsel to endorse this, which will be composed of those who are respected throughout the body of Christ as true elders in the church. Now, here's what your problem is. Here's what your problem is with this. This invisible, invisible universal church. Other people from the body have to approve it. This isn't a local church. They have no authority to do any discipline on this man. They can't, right? They can't. And here's this man that is acting like he's doing some good for this man. That he's restored. It's like a fake restoration. Right? So all these people go to Rick Joyner. Well, who's Rick Joyner? Now, we're going to get to him some other time, okay? Look at this. Well, What does he say? Does he say he's a knight of Malta? This remains a frequently asked question, so I want to answer it completely as I can. The names that are left out of this account are because I have not had a chance to ask them. In 1987, I met a man of one of the noble families of Eastern Europe. His family had owned a large and prosperous industry. So he's admitting that I was very intrigued to decide to research this order called the Knight of Malta. I visited the island of Malta while in the Navy, right? So he's telling people that you know, is the OSJ connected to the Masons, right? Okay, so here's the guy admitting that he is a Knight of Malta, okay? Here's him admitting that. And we're not going to get into this today because I'm going to save Rick Joyner for another one. But I want you to understand. So the guy that's restoring all these people is of the Catholic Order of the Knights of Malta, right? So he's the guy that restores Paul Kane. He's the guy that restores Todd Bentley. See that? Think about it. So what is it? It's all a farce. They're not restoring anybody. They're not truly dealing with anything. And they're all working for the Vatican. Who's the head of the mysteries? Babylon. Okay? So they're all working for the same people. Right? I mean, there's a lot of different knights. There's knights of Equestrian Order. There's a lot of different knights in the Roman Catholic Church. So they all have the same spirit, and El Papa right here, Godfather El Papa here, is the one that's running the show, right? See that? So you have the care, which, by the way, let me say this to you, and I know this is all random. Whoops, you don't want to see that video. This is all random, but today in this broadcast. But here's what I want you to understand, okay? That these guys, this charismatic movement, the history of it as we go through it, is going to take us right up to the present day CCM movement. And we're going to have to deal with CCM. Because that wicked music, CCM, was all a bridge from Rome, all from the mother of harlots, all from the Pope, all from the Vatican II, all a way to merge everyone together. Right? All the way to bring them all back together. So when you see Todd Bentley and you see these allegations that are against him, does it make sense that Paul Kane anointed him and released his spirit onto him, and the spirits that these people releasing are Antichrist devilish spirits? And the Bible says to try the spirits, whether they're of God. And by the way, does anybody know? I'm going to save this for the comment section here, or for the live chat, the stream here. Does anyone know what trait is common for witches? What trait? What sexual trait? Put it that way. And don't worry, I'm not getting into anything dirty or vulgar. Don't worry about that. It's not going to be vulgar. Does anybody know? You can do it in the comment section. Put it in the comment section here if you know. Because you'll catch it with Todd Bentley and you'll catch it with rebellion, yep, that's all there, yep, and spirituality, yep, that's true too. But there's one specific one I'm looking for. One specific one. Promiscuity, you're getting closer. You're getting closer. Fornication covers it all. Absolutely, fornication covers it all. Be a little more specific. A little more specific. You're getting closer, Luke. A little more specific than that. And I'm not talking about a dirty act, but just a little more descriptive. Here's what it is. You're getting closer, Stefan. Closer? No. Here's what I'm looking for. Bisexuality. That Baphomet spirit. Bisexuality. Okay? Bisexuality. And the reason I say that is because witches, they go either way. Right? They go either way. Right? So the answer is bisexuality. Because that's what Todd Bentley is guilty of when you look at witches and that perverse spirit that they have. Androgyny, there you go, Lisa, same thing. So what you see is when you see that spirit, you see both of those. Androgyny, that's right. It's that Baphomet spirit. The Baphomet spirit of when you look at CCM, when you look at rock music, when you look at all of those things, what do you find is prevalent? Baphomet. That's right. You find that duality, that spirit. What? You see it also in the Masonic order. Sons of God, daughters of men. Right? You see the opposites merged. Right? We see the opposites merged. All right? You see the opposites there. Perversion. A mingling, a hybridization of confusion. So, I mean, we don't really have time. This will probably take a separate broadcast, but I want you to think about this. What have we noticed? Here's another question I have for you. It makes you guys think. What have we noticed when God deals with false prophets, what does he liken them to? What does he liken false prophets to? I'll give you a second to answer. Hi, Deborah. Hope you're doing well. What does God liken false prophets to? An adulterous woman, right? An adulterous woman. He says that there's fornication in the midst of them, right? So God deals with the fornication that's in the midst of them. Let's see here. There we go. 36 times fornication is in the Bible. Isn't that interesting? 6 times 6. Right? So when you have that spirit of fornication, what does he say here? He says, the kings of the earth who have committed in Revelation 18, go to Revelation. Actually, let's go back to Revelation 17. That'll work. Actually, no. And we can keep going back. Revelation 9. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornications, nor their thefts. What's the city? Revelation 14:8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Right? Is fallen, is fallen. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Right? Revelation 17:2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. That's speaking of spiritually. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. With their witches' brew. Right? With her sorceries. What does it say here? And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colored, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was written a name, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. 13 words, right? I learned that from Pastor Hoggard. 13 words. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Right? So we have here spiritual fornication and then physical fornication. Both of them go hand in hand with Babylon. Where you find the one, spirit of Babylon, there you find the other. Where you find the spiritual fornication, you generally find the physical fornication. So let's do a comparison here and think about this for a second. All right, now it's time to ask you questions. So I'm going to type over here, and then as soon as somebody types after me that notices what I'm typing here, then I'll know you're ready, okay? And then I can ask, well, I'll start asking you anyway. But then I'll know you're there, okay? All right, let's see here. Okay, question. All right? Here's the question. Here's what it is. Did Rome first physically fornicate or spiritually fornicate? I'll wait for your answer. Doon, 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 doon. Dun, 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 dun. Let me play my 1,000 hours of Jeopardy music.
Writing's not that easy, but Grammarly can help. This sentence is grammatically correct.
Okay, right, spiritually. So the point is that long before they physically got into fornication, the pedophilia, the nuns having babies, and burying them and aborting them and burying them in the ground and all that stuff. Right? Before that, spiritually, they left the sound doctrine. Now, so we can see that very clearly. That's the way of Rome. Now, let me say something to you about Jack Skop, for instance, who was the pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Okay? The pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana was Jack Scott. He started preaching a doctrine back in the late or early 2000s. And it was called, he wrote a book called Divine Intimacy. Let me show you this. Oh, let me see here. I got to go here. Sorry. Here it is right here. Marriage, Divine Intimacy by Jack Scott. Now, he wrote that book right there. And when he wrote that book right there, inside that book, back in the late 2000s or mid-2000s, I read a portion of that book and I was like, what in the world is this? And basically, it was a God is my boyfriend book. And he took passages out of context and tried to basically make it sound like the Lord's Supper was intimacy with God. And he went in and taught those things to people. Now, he first started teaching that perversion, and then it wasn't but 4 or 5 years later, he was caught running with his 17-year-old secretary. And because he took her across state lines, the feds got involved, and he went to prison. But I remember calling people on that and saying, what in the world? This is heresy. And I had some pastor get mad at me and tell me not to do that. I was like, it's heresy. It's blasphemy. So I called it out. It's one of my first videos a long time ago on YouTube. But anyway, I called it out. But you know what? That false spirit, that spirit of perversion, that spirit of perversion was before he actually went perverted. Since he had a spirit of it. He had a blasphemous spirit of it. And once he started doing that, and he had that wrong spirit, and he never repented of that, he never got that teaching right where he blasphemed God, used phrases like, and I have stuck to thy precepts, and wrote things like that, and nobody stopped him and said, you got to repent of that. That's wicked. That's wrong. You blaspheme the ordinances of God. Right? That's wicked. And none of his friends called him on it. What if some of his friends had called him on it, and maybe he would have got right with God? Well, intimacy has different meanings, okay? It's a closeness, okay? But in this case, he was likening that act of intimacy between a husband and wife with the Lord's Supper. right? And because of that, I believe that that perverse spirit never left him because he lost the fear of God. And it consumed him and took him over. Because he lost the fear of God, if he ever had it. I don't know if he was saved or not, but I think God would have killed him. But so I'm thinking maybe he wasn't, but or he's not, obviously. But I don't know. I can't answer for him. But all I know is that it was never repented of. So you see that perverted spirit about God and who he is leads them to the physical perversion. Now, what do we see in Rome? A perverted spirit and relationship of who God is. And what do we see? Forbidding to marry. And we see the sins that go along with that. Right? Joseph Smith. If you go back and listen to my teachings, I'm going to go there right now. All right, let's see here. Joseph Smith. Let's see, let's go to... You're going to see the same thing. Here we go. Mormonism. See that series on Mormonism? How many of you have listened to my series on Mormonism? Anybody at all listen to the series on Mormonism that I've done, that I did before? Lots of power-packed information in each one of those. Everything you need to know about Joseph Smith. The first one was Joseph Smith, Mormon founder, astrological witch. Man, what a title. Joseph Smith, Mormon founder, Master Mason. What do the Masons pride themselves on? The generative principle. Right? Sons of God, daughters of men, coming down, the generative principle, Tubal Cain, all that perverted stuff, okay? Not going to get in deep with it, just stating some facts. Okay. Polygamy. But what was first? Their perverted teaching of who God is. Right? The occultism of Mormonism, necromancy, and familiar spirits. How about this one? The Mormons worship the Jesus of the Da Vinci Code. Masonic Jesus. Mormonism is pagan polytheism, right? Multiple gods. All right, the Mormon God is... How about this one? What a title. The Mormon God is an evolving Adam and a polygamous pimp. But what was first? Their false teaching on who God is. Right? They falsely taught on who the God of the Bible is. So, when they had the spirit of whoredoms, watch this. Let's try something. 54 times there, huh? Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcrafts. right? Anybody know about the celestial underwear? Well, they first started teaching their perversions about who God is. Right? So, if you go back and listen to this series, what are you going to find out? You're going to find out that Joseph Smith fornicated and stole people's women. Stole people's women. Right? So we see it. All right, you ready for another one? The spirit of whoredoms, the well-favored harlot, right? Spiritual fornication, physical fornication. You ready for the next one? Oops, let's see. Let's see, what's his name? Let me go into my handy dandy series. Okay. Here we go. Okay, Charles T. Russell, founder, fraud, and false prophet of the Watchtower. What else happened with these guys? Well, Russell's wife, Charles T. Russell's wife, caught him with who? With his secretary. In the office together by themselves. Actually, she stayed in the house with them. And she caught him upstairs in her bedroom at night when she woke up. What did he first start teaching? A perversion of who God is. A perversion of who the God of the Bible is. And what went along with it? Physical fornication. Right? Because the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcrafts that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families. So what the end time sin, right, that we find out? What do we say again? Says, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls and having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Revelation 9:21 says, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication. Their false religion and their their whoredoms, right? Their false religion and their whoredoms. I mean, literally, you can continue to go on and on. I could probably go down these more of these series as if I... Oh! Let's see. Well, here's another one for you. The CCM movement. How many do we have in the CCM movement right now that when we analyze the CCM movement, we see Amy Grant? How about Amy Grant? Let's see if I have that on here. I know I have a longer... The God of... Hey, by the way, that's a good one. Anybody heard this one? The God of CCM is the Antichrist? Anybody at all heard this one? The God of CCM is Antichrist? And Rome, the Pied Piper of Rome's ecumenical agenda? CCM, the Pied Piper? Well... Also, Amy Grant, if you look at her, what you find out about her is she was fornicating. These people all leave their husbands or their wives, and they go on the, they're on the road, and they're fornicating, and there's homosexuality involved, there's fornication involved. Right? Spiritual fornication? Physical fornication. Right? Same spirit. It's a spirit of rebellion. Right? It's a spirit of rebellion. They both go hand in hand for the most part. Where you have one, if it's not repented of, you're probably going to have the other one. Because it's the spirit that they're of. They can't help but do that. That's their spirit. That's what they do. That's what they teach. Right? That's their movement. Right? Let's see if there's anything else on here in any of the series that I did that would say the same thing, that would show you the same thing. Let's see. Let's see. Give me a second here. By the way, I'll give you another one with the SDA. There's an effeminate spirit with the SDA. So because their whole movement in the Seventh-day Adventist, because their whole movement was started by a woman and led and ran by a woman, all of the men that join that largely are effeminate men. And because of that, that's what they follow, an effeminate spirit. And it bleeds out into everything they do. Right? Here's three that I did on the Seventh-day Adventism. Masonic Mystic Witch, Ellen G. White. Heresies and False Doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventism Exposed. And Seventh-day Adventism Sabbath Day Heresy. You should listen to that one. That's a really good one. That'll straighten you out on it. Okay? Look, that's why homosexual... Oh! And how could I forget this one? How could I forget this one? Let's see. Here it is. If you haven't heard this sermon, you need to go on YouTube and listen to this, or go on Sermon Audio and listen to this. Homosexuality is a cult worship. Hitler, Crowley, and secret societies. You need to listen to that sermon right there. That sermon right there will tell you that homosexuality, there's a spirit that goes along with that. Now, I want you to think of Paul Kane, Todd Bentley, and all these people coming out saying Matthew Vines. All a perverse spirit of who God is. Therefore, the two go hand in hand. Right? They go hand in hand. They're together. So, anyway, gives you something to think about there. All right? And to understand the effeminacy that goes along with that, and all of the other things that go along with that spirit, that spiritual fornication and that physical fornication. That a lot of times when people have a perverse view of who God is, there's always another spirit. There's always something else going on with that. Mormonisms, JWs, the CCM movement. Right? All of those people. All of that Paul Kane, all of that, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the same spirit that they have. Okay, so anyway, that's probably all I'm going to cover today. I know it was a little different, but I got to get going here pretty soon. I've been on it for about an hour and a half, and I really got a busy time to go here tonight, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday. I'll be back on for a broadcast. Tuesday, I'll continue on and get some rest and get some all that, and then Wednesday back on the broadcast, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're busy, okay? So lots going on here, and then a week after that. I don't know what the progressive... Deborah asks, do you have any information on the progressive church movement? I don't know what that is. I've never heard of that before, Deborah, so I don't know what that is. I'm not sure what that is. Todd Bentley came on here and Bam Bam Bigelow, and boy, how is somebody that bored to listen to this broadcast and have so much time on their hands that they jump over, open up a dummy account, and come back and do that? How do people have that much time to waste? It's actually unbelievable to me to see that. It shouldn't be, but it is. Let's see. So anyway, we'll be back on Monday. You might see me tonight, though. I might broadcast from out there. I don't know how much time I'm going to have and how many guys I have working, and I got to keep an eye on my back and their backs and keep an eye on everything that's going on out there. But we may do some broadcasting live from the Minnesota State Fair, outside of the Minnesota State Fair, that is. And you know, it'll be an interesting time. So you pray for us that the Lord would bless us and keep us. Is CCM the charismatic Christian? No, CCM is contemporary Christian music. Sounds like an insurance company is getting into the fake church scamming business. Progressive Christian, that's what it sounds like, Decoder. Anyway, but yeah, Deborah, I've never heard of that before. My thoughts, Joseph as Robin has like 4,000 accounts. And asks the question, speaking of androgyny, what are your thoughts on David Bowie, Prince, Duran Duran? The same as yours, that they're all androgynous. Androgynous, and that's what they are. Ay, ay, ay. Anyway. Yep, anyway. So, no, that's what is contemporary Christian music, and we're going to talk about that. There's a lot that could be said about that, and but we don't have time to go through that today. But I'm going to get out of here. I got to get ready here. So we'll talk to you all soon, and I hope you all have a good weekend. And pray for us. You'll see me probably live sometime either tonight or tomorrow. Maybe even Sunday, out there. And just pray for us, okay? Pray the Lord bless us and keep us in all that we do out here, and that God will be glorified in the work that we do. All right, you all have a good weekend, and I'll be back here, Lord willing, on Monday.